if you're not a political junkie, you know the election is 2 weeks away, and it will determine which political party holds power in Congress. But Princeton University historian and author Julian Zelizer writes about how midterm elections frequently mean so much more. They can tell us what our political parties are about and what direction they're headed in. And he's concerned this one might tell us a lot about the state of our democracy. Julian, hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Julian, let's start with history. So you point to the 1978 midterm elections. Democrats under President Jimmy Carter actually retained control of both houses of Congress in midterm elections. Wasn't that a sign of a bright political future for Democrats?
Well, not really, in that this was an era where Democrats controlled the House from 1955 to 1994, so they never really lost control. But they suffered losses during that election. Democrats lost 3 seats in the Senate, 15 seats in the House. And so for President Jimmy Carter, for the party, that was a sign of concern. And it was the nature of the new Republicans who were coming into town which really worried a lot of Democratic leaders.
And tell us about that. What was, because that has echoes into today as well. But back then, what was the nature of those coming in?
Well, what you saw in 1978, A, was regional. Republicans start to make a lot of gains in the South, which still was primarily Democratic territory. But more important, you had young Republicans. One of the examples is Newt Gingrich in Georgia, who are much more aggressive in terms of how they envision partisan warfare, who are much more conservative than older Republicans in terms of how they think of domestic policy and the fight against communism at the time, and who are just willing to be much more aggressive in the tactics that they use. And the class of 78 is when you see the next generation of leaders who are much different than the Republicans of the 50s and 60s.
Okay, so that's Gingrich and the new leaders in 78. It feels like we're at a similar moment now, Julian, with a new cadre of Trump or Trumpist, really, Republicans on the ballot in many, many places around the country.
I think that's right. Obviously, the sequence in 1978 was the younger Republicans win in the midterms, and then you have Ronald Reagan cement that in many ways in the 1980 presidential election, a new conservative era. And I think what you're seeing today is a little bit reversed in that Trump was president already, but many of the candidates running for office, not just for Congress, but at the state level, gubernatorial level, secretaries of state, have embraced election denialism. They're much more radical in terms of their policy agenda. And I think their victories in this election will really cement where this party is and where it's going. And what we call Trumpism will be firmly entrenched, not just in a potential Trump run in 2024, but throughout the party.
So let's just talk a little bit about the scale of this, because as you point out in your column, which the Washington Post has reported, 291 Republicans who are running for office in a couple weeks, they are officially election deniers. They don't accept that Biden won in 2020. How many of these do you feel like are likely to win?
Well, this article in the Washington Post thinks a large number of them can. I mean, I'm not a prognosticator, and I don't know what the numbers, but you're talking about 291 Republicans, and it's very well easy to imagine a majority of them winning. And winning not, again, just in terms of who will be on Capitol Hill, but some of these races include secretaries of state who are the persons who will be overseeing the next election cycle. And all of them are not just denying the last election and haven't engaged in that kind of rhetoric, but they're part of this emergent strategy for the future where they're open to challenging it again, not just rhetorically, but in practice. So it's a pretty stunning development in my mind in terms of how these midterms are shaping up.
So we don't have much time left, but just going back to your original premise, even if a handful of election deniers get elected, what do you think that means for the future, both of the Republican Party and of democracy, given what we've seen with Marjorie Taylor Greene moving to such a prominent position in the party?
I think her rise to power, which I also talk about, from being a renegade for a spell now to being a power broker potentially in the party, says a lot. I think this new Republican Party that has been front and center is not going anywhere, and discussions of a turning point or some big change, I think, are misplaced. And unless this election somehow changes that narrative, this is the GOP for the next decade or more.
Julian Zelizer is a historian at Princeton University. Julian, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.